Hey, welcome to the Quick Fast Podcast, where you don't know who you are.
And neither do we.
All right, well, number nine. I've been noticing some changes on the internet.
Yeah, well, the number one change is Quick Fast Podcast is blowing up, buddy.
In what way?
Well, we've had a Twitter for a while, and we got a few loyal followers on Twitter. We got some who are not so loyal, they just are there.
I think that's the nature of the beast.
Right, I think that's how Twitter goes. We got a couple people on our Facebook, but I think Facebook is growing less and less popular, by the way.
Yeah.
And then, by the way, their stocks. Pfft,
rough move. Attention.
No, it's not looking good for Facebook. They went public super high and have just been dropping ever since.
Huh.
Nevertheless, what we've got going on now is we've got our SoundCloud page, which is where some of our more loyal listeners follow us. What we're doing there is you can always find the two or three most recent podcasts that we've done up on our SoundCloud page, which is just quickfastcast.soundcloud.com.
And SoundCloud is our roots. That's where we got started.
Yeah, that's where we got started. The problem with SoundCloud is you got to pay kind of a substantial amount to host your files there. So we're just kind of cycling through our freshest ones.
Sure.
And we're trying to keep the train rolling along there. But
and with them, you pay for minutes. And for a podcast, it's not economical to host by the minute.
Right.
Because we have a longer distribution that we need to get out there.
Yeah, so, we are talking
sure.
by trade.
If you were a DJ or a musician and came out with a five-minute song.
Yeah, you could get quite a bit.
Yeah.
It's just when you start to pay for it, it seems like we would very quickly run out of our minutes at any given package. So we've explored some other things. But what we've been having some success with is our blogspot,
okay.
quickfastcast.blogspot.com. And the main reason we've been having success with that is because of StumbleUpon.
Okay, I'm not really that familiar with StumbleUpon.
Yeah, StumbleUpon is kind of like, it's kind of like social networking, or it's kind of like the good parts of social networking. If you like photos, and okay. you like seeing what people are doing with really cool photos, it's got that on StumbleUpon. If you like seeing really interesting articles that appeal to your specific interests, if you want to share videos about certain specific things, what it does is you type in your interests and things that you like, and when you come across a page that you're interested in, you stumble it. And then Stumble will then automatically create its own feed for you based off of what you're into. So if you're into podcasts, you might stumble across the Quick Fast Podcast when you hit the Stumble button. It just brings up random stuff. If you're into photos of nature, you hit Stumble, and it'll bring up photos of nature if you've liked a photo of nature before or something like that. And you can find some really cool pictures. I've been messing around on there because I kind of like different music and art and stuff like that. But we've been getting a ton of traffic off of that. And that's a good thing, because I think our blog spot is pretty legit. We've got an archive on there, a post for every episode. It's got embedded audio that plays on Windows, it plays on Macs, and you don't have to download anything. You can also subscribe to our feed if you'd like. And you can even manually subscribe to our feed through iTunes on there. But,
interesting.
Yeah, we've got some good pictures on there with each post, and a quick synopsis of every episode and what we're doing on there, and really kind of proud of the work we're doing there, and I think it's a good thing for people to find.
Yeah, and you've done some wonderful things getting things going online. Generally, number three handles the editing of the audio, and number nine has been just working his tail off getting everything online.
Yeah, it's become kind of my second/third job since I already kind of have two.
Yeah.
It's been fun, and we found some really cool ways. If you dig around on the internet, there's some cool stuff out there, and one of the great things about it is a lot of the best stuff available for free.
Yeah.
You know, if you're into pictures, you don't need to buy some stupid photo disc or some thing from the iTunes store. You can go on StumbleUpon, and you can save all these cool photos to your hard drive. If you're into certain types of podcasts or other entertainment, then you can find a Quick Fast Podcast or something as good or better out there, depending on what you're interested in. So
I don't know if they'll find better than Quick Fast Podcast.
Well, they might. It's going to be goddamn hard, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I wouldn't bother looking.
No. Well, why bother spending all that time looking for something else when everything you need is right in front of you with number three and number nine? So hit us up on our blog spot and download what you want, listen to what you want, or just ignore it completely. But there's some pretty funny pictures. One of the things we put up there was a real funny chart about the attractiveness of women dependent upon their age, which I think was from episode 2 that we did, where we kind of stumbled into that. Like, at what point is a woman her hottest? And I found this really cool chart that I put up on our Blogspot. And I always try to link to articles or news things that we talk about on the podcast. So we're trying to give some credit to the correct authors as well. Speaking of plagiarism, we're going to have a quick, fast podcast mixtape coming out with 10 songs for the summer.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I think that's going to be episode number 9 here, so just a little precursor. Number 3 is going to sit down. He's going to pick 5 songs for summer. Number 9 is going to do the same thing. We're going to do an episode where we demo them, talk about the artist, how we found it, and why we think it's good, and then we're going to put that up on our Blogspot so you'll be able to stream it and have your own sounds of summer.
I can't wait.
No, I'm excited too. I have a few in mind that I'm going to pull, and I'm interested to see what you're going to do. However, my gut tells me you're probably going to forget about it and then do it 20 minutes before we're ready to record.
I hope not. But it seems like something I would forget about. But I've always got something chambered for music.
Right.
So
be on the lookout for that. Sounds of Summer with the Quick Pass Podcast.
Hell yeah.
Ayo, long awaited, debated, but fuck it, here we are, broad. Here to say the game, just like a memory card. Memory lost to Cali Drove, to Amsterdam, out on a patio. Rocking like a Beatle, I should record up at Abbey Road. Batty flow, there you go. Talking that hood rich money talk, hood rich black male with music that's always in a hood, like crack sales are out in the birds, like E-pills, E-fields.
Now, something else that comes along with summer, other than just sounds and music and good times, is more people on the road.
Oh, yes.
And if you're in the Midwest, construction.
Oh, God. I sat in construction in the middle of nowhere the other day.
Really? It's just that time of year. There's no way around it. And there's always an alternate route.
Yeah.
Yeah, they always reroute you. And for some reason, they tend to reroute you in an inefficient manner. It's like they're rerouting only semis.
Mm-hmm.
They won't let you go on a back road or through a town. They always reroute you. So you got to kind of know what you're doing. I'm going to come back to that later, but being on the road has its perils. When you're out and about, you have more people who do more things and sometimes more stupid things. Now, I am guilty of doing a stupid thing just yesterday.
Okay.
I'm leaving my home. I'm approaching a 3-way stop at a T intersection.
All right.
I'm going to be sort of the leg of the T. If that makes sense.
Yep.
So there's no one coming directly at me, but there's potential for people to be going across me. I'm heading west, and there's potential for people to be going north and south simultaneously.
Okay.
It's about 7 p.m. Now, usually at this 3-way stop, I'll be completely honest with my flaws and my bad habits and all that. I usually look, and if there's no one coming, I slow down and I roll right through that stop sign and I go on about my way.
As any American should.
Well, why are you stopping at a 3-way stop? To make sure you don't hit anybody else.
Yep.
And if there's no one else there and you're not flying around and hitting little kids at a crosswalk or anything, generally no harm, no foul. Well, I messed up. I was glancing to see if there was anyone coming, and for some reason, I think this vehicle must have just been right where kind of that pillar is in your vehicle,
Yep.
You know how you have that pillar by the passenger side where the door closes, and occasionally it'll obstruct your view? I was looking, and it was 7 p.m., and I was heading west, so the sun was directly in my eyes. Again, not an excuse. And I did not see a car that was pulling up to the stop sign heading south. I'm going west, and I'm about to turn left to go south. I just completely didn't see him. My bad. And it was this guy in a green Jeep Cherokee is all I saw. Well, by the time I realized he was there, I had already kind of cut him off and started rolling through the stop sign. And he gives me a what the hell hand wave. And I immediately, realizing the error of my ways, wave at him. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And I even said it out loud, like, sorry. And I give him the wave as I'm pulling out. My bad. And I continue to wave, with my hand completely out the window up above the car, giving the my bad wave, like waving the white flag side to side.
Yep.
You know, I'm obviously in the wrong, and I felt bad about cutting the guy off. Well, as I'm doing that, and this is only about 2 seconds after I've cut him off, he gives a big hand throw up in the air like a what the fuck, and then I'm pretty sure he sticks his hand out and gives me the big middle finger.
Okay.
While I'm waving sorry. And
he didn't pump it?
No, he didn't put it, but it went straight up. And I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure it was middle finger, even after I'd given him multiple sorry waves. And I used to have a bad temper. And I used to snap periodically. I had a good friend, who one time described me as a magnet. And I never thought about it until after he said it, but he was kind of right. Because most of the time, the douchebag who's looking to start some shit would always find me. When we were in college and we would go out, the guy who wanted to be an asshole would always make some smart-ass comment to me while ignoring the other 8 friends who were there.
Yep.
And in many ways, I think my friend is right, that I am a magnet. There's something about me that draws people who want to start shit. And I don't know what, why, or if that's just the way of the universe, or if God's got some mysterious plan. But over, you know, lately in particular, like the last year or two, I felt like I'd gotten really good at not losing my temper. Like, even when I would get angry, I wouldn't get off the hook. I would have a longer fuse.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't burn out. Well, something in me snapped when this guy in the green Jeep Cherokee, and I couldn't really tell, you know, how old he was or anything like that, because I'd kind of rolled right in front of him and I just saw the hand coming.
Sure.
Well, I see that hand go up while I'm waving I'm sorry and looking in my rearview mirror for him to give me like the okay wave. I mean, isn't that customary? When you give someone the I'm sorry wave, they give you that little flick of the hand, like, all right, go on about your day.
Yeah, when I'm driving, if somebody does me wrong, he gives me the oops sorry wave. Right. I immediately, okay.
Yeah.
I've had people do some inflammatory things. I've been run off the road and flipped off by the person who ran me off the road before. It's very different. And if somebody ran you off the road, it's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
It's a very different reaction than just keeping going or no wave or just like a, who do you think you are? Well, it's my road.
What the fuck? Right. And so I was obviously apologizing. So anyhow, I see that hand go up while I'm waving sorry, and I bring my hand that's waving sorry back into the car, and I hammer the brakes to the, I was only doing like 20, 25 miles an hour, to when I hit the brakes, my car went, from 20 mile an hour. That's pretty hard to do with analog brakes these days.
Right.
I mean, I hammered them, and I throw that car into park, and I mean literally throw the gear shifter into park, and I get out right away. I hop out. And I gave what was probably the most aggressive and intimidating apology that I've ever given in my life. As I'm walking up to the Jeep Cherokee, I realized 2 things. One, there's a passenger in the vehicle, and that passenger looks to be a disabled 20-ish guy. He looks like he's got some sort of neck thing on, and his head's kind of tilted a little bit, so maybe autistic or some spinal disorder or something like that. And 2, the guy driving is probably his like 55-ish year old dad. And I realized that as I'm walking up. But by this time, I had already exploded.
Mm-hmm.
I walk up and he stops because he's got no choice because I'm blocking one lane and walking in the other. So his only options would have been to put it in reverse if he wanted to go anywhere.
Yeah.
And I walk up and I go, I gave you the I'm sorry wave, right? And he goes, yeah. And I go, so I'm sorry. I go, there's no reason for you to be huffing and puffing and throwing your fucking hands up in here. Or actually, I take that back. I did not say fucking. I go, there's no reason for you to be huffing and puffing and making all sorts of hand gestures. He goes, well, you ran that stop sign. I go, I know I ran the stop sign. That's why I gave you I'm sorry wave. Did you see me wave? And he goes, yeah. And I go, well, that means I'm sorry then. Now, if you got a problem, you got a problem. But I'm sorry. And he goes, well, I was just saying. I go, I know what I did. I understand what I did. And I'm telling you, I'm sorry. Okay? And he goes, okay. I go, all right. And I turn around and I walk back in my car and I leave. But I knew as soon as I was walking away, like, man, I just lost my shit on that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I did not want to, like, do anything physical to him. Now, had it been a guy my age and had he gotten out of that, like, if that was, like, a 25-year-old dude and he got out of that vehicle, I would have fucked him up. I had just snapped. But all he did was like, but you ran the stop sign. And I cut him off immediately. I know what I did. That's why I told you I was sorry. And I got done and I thought, holy fuck.
Yeah.
I just lost it. And I was thinking like, man, what happened? Well, here's what happened. Now, I want you to interject here and help me out. What is it called in psychology when you're feeling one way about something, but you bring it over to something else?
That would be like transference or projection.
Yes, okay. That's what happened here. Because obviously I was in the wrong. I mean, even when I did snap,
All I did was go up to his window and say, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I mean, I apologized more than I said anything else, but I also let him know, there's no reason for you to be huffing and puffing as I'm driving away telling you I'm sorry.
Right.
You know, if we were humans and if we were in the same place and you said, hey, listen, I messed up the other night, blah, 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 blah. If I kept going, well, fuck you, well, fuck you, well, fuck you.
That's when I lose it.
You can't do that. And it was the equivalent in my mind, but technically he was in the right. Mm-hmm. And I did cut him off and he's got his kid in the car who's maybe handicapped. Which, again, I didn't know any of this at the time. So I could see him being a little shaken by the guy kind of rolling through the stop sign.
Right.
But again, I was apologizing. Anyhow, clearly in the wrong, lost my cool. Here's what happened. About an hour before that, I was on my way home from work. So it's about 5:30 in the evening. And this construction had rerouted me. And when the construction rerouted me, I ended up getting stopped by a train, and I'm stopped behind another Jeep Cherokee. I didn't realize that until this moment.
Okay.
And in this Jeep Cherokee, while I'm sitting there waiting for this train to go, are two girls, probably 21 years old.
All right.
The one in the passenger seat takes a pack of cigarettes, opens them up, and then takes that entire plastic sheet that goes around them, mm-hmm. throws it out the window, and the shit blows right in my face while I'm sitting behind them. At the train. Her friend who's driving leans over and says something to her, obviously letting her know, like, hey, you just threw your garbage on that guy on the motorcycle behind us. She turns around, stares at me, and doesn't acknowledge that she just hit me in the face with her trash.
Irritating.
Oh, I was getting pissed off. And I'm talking under my breath, which sometimes I do when I'm on my motorcycle because I feel like people can't hear me through my helmet, but they can.
Mm-hmm.
People can hear you talk. And I'm like, fucking white trash whore. You're just throwing your shit out.
Right.
And you throw it on a person and you don't even give the I'm sorry wave.
Right.
And I remember thinking, like, at that time, like, how hard is it to just wave your sorry? And I wanted to pull up right next to him and I could have at the train and be like, what the fuck is your problem? Fucking say you're sorry and don't throw your shit out on people.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't. I just swallowed it because typically I've been doing better at controlling my shit.
Exactly.
Well, what happened was all that rage got transferred onto that dude. Because
mm-hmm.
under normal circumstances, I think, you know, I'm waving goodbye, or I'm waving I'm sorry, and he decides to huff and puff a few more times and then flip me off. I probably would have just went, yeah.
Yeah, oh well.
But not last night, right. buddy. I fucking lost it. And I went to my parents' house afterwards, and my dad's like, what's going on? I go, I think I just scared the shit out of some old man. Is what's going on. And I told him about how I apologized by going up to his window and yelling at him until he basically conceded, okay. Like, there was no way I was going to leave until he said, all right.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, listen. And he's like, but you ran the stop sign. Fuck, I know I ran the stop sign. I know I ran the stop sign. That's why I'm saying I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but so that, it was a hell of an event. And it was a classic case of transference.
Absolutely.
I'm angry at these white trash girls throwing their cigarette wrappers out the window, hitting a person in the face, and then only turning around to kind of half giggle at the person and the fact that you hit them with your garbage rather right. than just saying you're sorry. And I end up taking it out on some almost 60-year-old guy and his potentially handicapped son. And I felt bad. I was thinking, I probably scared the shit out of the kid.
Possibly.
Because, I mean, I got out of that vehicle and it was like I was on a mission. And I'm sure right. walking up to that vehicle, I didn't look happy at all.
I'm sure you didn't.
Yeah.
You know, it's been a while since I lost my temper like that, or at least it feels like it's been a while. It feels like it's on the verge, and I felt like I was on the verge even more so about a month ago. I was just having a bad time. Seems like my job had fallen through that I usually do for the summer. You know, I went through a breakup, and then it's just my car broke down and all this stuff. And so all my cognitive faculties just started breaking down.
You have nothing to hang your hat on when right. so many things are going wrong.
Right.
And you need something stable to lose a car, by the way. You know, it's one thing if your car is always breaking, but you got a good woman at home.
Right.
If everything's going to shit, you got nothing really to stabilize you.
And it just had me to the point where all someone would have had to do is just look at me wrong, and I'm not usually an aggressive person, and I would have just snapped. And luckily, you know, I kind of got through that, and things have gotten better since then, but, you know, yesterday something happened that almost made me snap. I got home in the afternoon. My dad's out working on this car, and I mentioned how I went out and visited a friend of mine whose son is going to be going to college as a freshman here in the fall. And I mentioned how, you know, when I first went to school, I wasn't dedicated to grades. I didn't do that great. I got my degree, but really I'm not proud of how I performed. And now that I'm back in school, I'm a straight A student, mm-hmm. and I play the game a whole lot differently. And I still have just as much fun as when I had when I was, you know, slacking. And he goes, well, I'd like for you to, you know, maybe give my kid a talk, you know. And the kid looks up to me a little bit, you know. And maybe,
yeah, you
know,
bridge the gap between dad and him.
Absolutely.
You're closer to the son's age, but
right.
you're friends with
and
the
I
dad.
And I know the urge to go out and party and you get that freedom for the first time. I know it because I was there. And I know the mistakes that you can make when you get all that. And so the dad's like, yeah, maybe you want to give me a talk. And so I'm out there. My sister's in town. And so I go to my sister. I said, you know, John wants me to give a pep talk to his kid about going to college. My dad looks up. He goes, you?
Oh, wow.
And I go, yeah. He goes, your mom's been talking to me. She thinks you need a pep talk. And I go, yeah, what about? And there's been this arrangement that my mom wants to pay me, since my job fell through, for some jobs she wants done over the summer.
Mm-hmm. Doing some work around the house.
Yeah, well, remodeling her kitchen. Mm-hmm. We remodeled this room.
Which is stuff you would pay a carpenter to do.
Right.
Yeah.
And this room that we were doing just got remodeled, and I've been helping my dad restore this old car. And so then he goes, your mom thinks you need a bit of a pep talk. I go, oh yeah, what about? He goes, she thinks you need some motivation. And I just look at him, I go, do you really want to get into this right now? And just make eye contact, and he just turns back around and he goes, I'm just saying. And then I bring up, I go, she said she's got stuff she wants me to do, she's going to pay me to do, and she specifically told me not to bother getting a job because she's got all this stuff for me to do. And he's just whatever. And it was the extra 2 years under my belt that kept me from just going back to old Adam and having the same reaction of you being like, who do you think you are talking to me like that?
Right.
Oh, I almost
lost. Because you have all this, when you have frustration weighing on you, it's so easy to take it out on another person.
Right. Especially when that person is calling you out on the frustrations you already have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm frustrated that I don't have a job.
Yeah, so you don't need someone kind of insinuating that you're lazy.
Exactly.
That, yeah. Well, look at mine. I was pissed off that I didn't get an I'm sorry wave, and then while giving the I'm sorry wave, felt like it wasn't received in the way it should be.
Yep.
Had they not been so closely correlated, I probably wouldn't have done that. By the way, I've never pulled that move of getting out the car, and I've wanted to before. Mm-hmm. I think we talked about this in a previous episode of, what was it, Frotage? And,
yeah.
Where we had that guy behind us flipping us off, and that guy deserved to get his ass beat.
Yes,
he was
did.
Being an asshole.
Yeah, he was.
Last night, this guy was just probably a little bit scared and awestruck at how I was behaving.
Mm-hmm.
He probably didn't deserve me getting out of the car and going up to the window, but I did, because it was so closely associated with that bad event I had just had prior.
But you know what? I've had events like that happen to me, and I have to think, I'm a young guy. Guy in his 50s, 60s, has to have had something like that happen before.
Yeah.
And the older I get, sometimes I'll see something that when I was young would have blown my mind, like, did that just happen? And now I just think, eh, no big surprise.
I've never had anyone get out of a vehicle and come up to mine.
I have, but my vehicle was full of guys about my age in their 20s, and it was over a parking spot. There was like a Seinfeld. Mm. I had pulled in one way, he pulled in another.
Oh, really?
It was, and I wasn't budging, and he comes up to the window, and I like crack my door like, I'm going to get out too.
Yeah, you so have to, because you're in a submissive position.
Right, and I had three other guys in the car that were decently sized that all got out of the car, and he's like, I'm going to call the police if you don't move. You can't park like this. And I go, who says?
Yeah.
I can park any way I want to park, and I'm more in the spot than you. So anyway, I relinquished the spot and I decided to be the bigger person. Well, that's what I said. Maybe I pushed out. It's up to opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Let us know on Twitter at QuickFastCast.
There you go.
And so I backed up, found another spot, and we were leaving the garage on foot at the same time as these people.
Oh, so you have to walk next to them.
And I gave them a, you guys have a good night. Like, you know.
Remember our friend telling us the story about how his brother beat the shit out of that dude who reached in his car, presumably to
yes.
jack him. That's a hell of a story.
That's a good story.
The guy's sitting at a stop sign. This dude reaches in, presumably to, like, take the keys out and carjack him. He grabs the fucking would-be carjacker, pulls him in, and starts just beating the shit out of him. Then gets out of his car and sits on the unconscious perp until the police show up.
That is a great deal.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a reaction.
Well, you have to. At that point, because, like, you have to do something. If someone comes into the car...
Mm-hmm.
They've now invaded your space in such a way that you have to react or you are going to be a victim of something.
And they're kind of vulnerable there because they're off their center of gravity and you're locked in.
Yes.
So you could just, you can yank as hard as you want.
Yeah, especially if you have your seatbelt on. But they can't take you out of the car with your seatbelt.
No, and you can get kidney shots.
Right, they're totally exposed to sight. Yeah. So it's really not that great of a move to just, that's why, you know, in the movies, they always say, get out of the car.
Yeah.
That's something that this poor motherfucker didn't learn.
When he knows now. Up.
Yeah. But that is an embarrassing event and a hell of a story. Yeah. So good for him. And if you're thinking about jacking someone out there and you think you're just going to reach in and take their keys out of their car, I hope you learn a little something from that.
Yep.
And by the way, quit jacking people's cars. Go get a job. Okay? Or don't.
Yeah. Or don't.
Yeah. And then just mind your own business. Take the bus.
Get a hustle.
Yeah. Start hustling. Sick of people not doing their shit, wanting everybody to do something for them.
Yeah, getting handouts. Come on.
Yeah, you gotta come harder than that.
Yep.
Well, number three, I got some interesting news for you.
Always. What you got?
Well, we got an email from a listener out in the Southwest.
Okay.
Who has a friend who abbreviates the word good, G-U-D, good.
You've got to be kidding me.
I wish I were. I don't know what to make of this, because on episode 6, we were talking about online dating, and I believe it was the girl's tagline was, looking for a real good man.
That's true.
And I said I wanted to know, is good a proper abbreviation for good nowadays? And if so, who's doing it? So we know that there's at least one person who's intentionally taking good and chopping it down to G-U-D to abbreviate it.
My word, I believe, would be appropriate to say.
Yeah.
I just don't know. I mean, is it worth doing?
You cut out one letter.
Right.
I mean, laugh out loud is a good abbreviation as LOL because you're saving a significant amount of time and it's just an acronym.
Sure, even if it is inaccurate and no one's laughing out loud.
Right.
I've heard comedians muse about, you know, if everyone was laughing out loud as much as they type LOL, everyone would just ha 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 all the time.
Yeah, I'm ridiculous. A ha ha guy when I think something's moderately funny, and if I really do laugh out loud, I will say LOL, but I reserve it for only the cases where I'm actually laughing. Which takes quite a bit.
I try to lighten the mood because people tell me I'm an asshole when I text.
Ha ha.
So yeah.
Like,
so not only am I an asshole, I'm spiteful and like to enjoy.
You looked like a slut in that top. LOL.
That is something I might say.
Yeah.
Once I was hanging out with a girl who I told is going to end up on the, I think it's a blog site, People of Walmart.
Okay, I've heard of this.
And we were at Walmart, and she bent over to get something from the bottom shelf, and you could see both her tramp stamp and a large portion of her thong sticking above the waist of her pants.
Interesting.
And I quote when I say, will you pull your fucking pants up, you white trash whore?
Now, how could she possibly be offended by that?
I can't even imagine.
I mean, you know, pull your fucking pants up, white trash whore. This is a person you chose to hang out with?
Oh, yeah. And hang out with still to this day.
Wow. She had no problem with that?
A little problem.
A little problem.
But that's the way I am. I'm rough around the edges a little bit, I guess.
Yeah. The security guards at Walmart watching those cameras were probably thinking something a little bit different than what you were thinking, buddy. Well, they probably weren't thinking, pull up your pants. They were thinking, please, a little more.
Well, by the time I got to the other end of the store, I was thinking, why did I say anything at all? Because I'd like to be scoping out a little bit of thong.
Put it in the spank bank.
But I'm a classy guy, number 9.
That's why you're out at Walmart?
I'm at Walmart, you know, trying to look like a respectable kind of guy with a classy girl. Sure, she's got a tramp stamp. It was a mistake in her 20s.
maybe teens.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
So, well, let me guess about this tramp stamp. Butterfly in the middle?
No. What? Large flower. It's actually sort of a one of the prettier tramp stamps.
A flower in the middle, giant, like where the spine is, you know, kind of getting to the tailbone.
It spreads from the middle out. I mean,
it's just a big flower?
A gigantic lotus. I think it's a lotus. With some sort of just design accent around the flower.
See, usually there's one thing in the middle and then a bunch of stuff coming out of it.
Right.
Usually a butterfly and then a bunch of things.
No, it's just this big flower, whatever. It's as far as tramp stamps go, it's nice enough.
Yeah. Yeah, I think a tramp stamp generally would be a smaller deal. So if that's kind of a big flower,
yeah,
going
it's on. Almost. It goes up to the middle of her back. It's almost like a back
tattoo.
I'm
going to say if it's going anywhere near the middle of the back, can't be a tramp stamp.
Okay. Well,
I'm going to limit a tramp stamp to the lower quarter of the back.
Okay. Well, that's the middle of it is the lower quarter.
Yeah. So what?
I don't know.
I think if it breaks out of there, it's like someone in at Alcatraz.
Mm-hmm.
Once they get out, they've escaped.
All right. Now, let me just run this one extra thing by you. And for the younger listeners at home, maybe this is the time to turn down the speakers if you're mm-hmm. listening with your children.
Yeah. Parents, this might not be kid friendly.
I have, and somewhat regularly, pull out and come on the tattoo.
This.
So does that make it a tramp stamp? Because I think that's the idea, isn't it?
No, I think tramp stamp originated from something Vince Vaughn said in Wedding Crashers or something like that, is when everyone started going crazy with it. But I think it was just to signify that they were down with getting down.
Well, I don't shrug at you because
but just because you're involved in such a you're involved in such a detailed sexual act, and I don't know what our listeners are going to think about hearing that. By the way, they know where you're ejaculating now. That might just be a little bit too much to know about number three.
Well, if we're really concerned, I can go and cut it out. I've got skills.
Yeah, that's true. You are the audio mix master. But I think where you ejaculate has nothing to do with the tattoo itself. Well, if someone had a tattoo on their breast and you pulled out and went on their breast, does that make that a tramp stamp?
Yeah. So in my mind.
I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to question your logic with that.
Interesting.
It is. I'm coming, baby. I'm coming. Come. Help me. Make your baby understand. Don't try love or let you take command. Love can be a two-sided thing. You never get more than you can rain. Hey, I'm coming. Coming, baby. Ooh. Help me. I'm coming. Well, I don't know. Have we checked out any recent blogs? Quickfastcast.blogspot.com.
That's one to check out.
Blowing up. Been up about 2 weeks. We're getting about 150 to 200 views a week, which not bad for this little dog and pony show.
In my view, that's incredible.
It really is. When you think about this being a two-man operation with little to no financial support whatsoever, apparently at least a few people are liking what we do and they're stumbling across us in some capacity.
And, you know, I've been kind of wondering this, and maybe I'll discuss this with you and the listener. I've been thinking we should set up a PayPal and ask for donations.
For us?
Yeah. We need more mics. We need better equipment.
Yeah. I mean, you can always, there's always something better.
Yeah.
You know, with everything, it's like, you know, you buy a new Cadillac, well, there's always a Ferrari out there, so.
I tell you what, let's wait until we get more listeners.
Okay.
And we'll try to get money some way from them.
All right. I don't really necessarily want to get money from
them. Your money.
I don't. You keep your money. Okay, our listeners are hardworking people.
All right. You donate money to QuickFastCast and number 9 doesn't see a dime. It all goes to number 3. And you like me best, don't you?
Yeah, that's the real question.
Yeah, who do you like more?
Okay, now we're getting into something.
Yeah.
This happened at work the other day someone was saying something to someone. Oh, they had a nickname. That's what it was. I heard someone, a coworker of mine, talking to a new person at work, and they called him by a nickname.
Okay.
I think it was Gonzo or something.
Oh, boy.
And I said, Gonzo? I go, that's not what you told me. We were just hanging out for like an hour earlier. And he's like, he just shrugs his shoulders and he looks at me. I go, you like him better than me, don't you? and you didn't answer the question, which says an awful lot.
The thing is, with a nickname like Gonzo, he either really likes Hunter S. Thompson.
Who's Hunter S. Thompson?
He's the founder of Gonzo Journalism, and from my understanding, you just take a bunch of drugs and write what you see.
Where's that from?
Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. Oh. That's where you can. That's the most popularized version, but he was a professor and author.
Oh, and he wrote Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
I don't know. He wrote a lot of articles. He was a journalist and things like that.
Yeah, I know. Is there a book for that? Because I've only heard of the movie.
I'm sure. I know there's a book for Fear and Loathing.
Gotcha.
So, Hunter S. Thompson. Check it out. Or, the guy's hung well.
Gonzo.
Gonzo. He
could be large penis.
Maybe he likes the Muppets, but
Yeah. I don't know, but either way, it was one of those moments where you realize that someone likes someone else better than you.
Yeah.
And that's a humbling thing that you need to realize once in a while, because you're probably not as nice to people as you really like to think you are. And you need to be reminded once in a while that sometimes people click with others better than you, and maybe you need to work a little bit harder.
Something happened to me yesterday that clarified something I already knew within the family.
Okay.
All right. My sister is my dad's favorite, clearly.
There's something about dads liking the daughter the best, I think. I really think that that happens for some reason. They're always the most protective of them, and when you're the most protective, you've got the most vested in them.
Well, sure, they see you're protective, they want to, you know, reciprocate something, so she kisses ass and whatever. And of course, if you see someone likes you the best, you want to foster that liking because you're going to get some benefit from it.
If you see that someone likes you, most of the time, you want to be nice to them back. Right. Because you hate disappointing someone who's nice to you.
Absolutely. So, we've been restoring this antique car, my dad and my sister comes into town. And they go for a ride, and he doesn't invite me. He says, why don't you wait by the phone, and in case the car breaks down, you can come out and rescue us. I go, okay. So I'm washing my car and just cleaning it up, and, you know, it's a nice day outside, so just kind of hanging around outside, and I get a phone call. I see it's from my dad. I pick it up. He goes, yeah, we're out here conked out by so-and-so's house. They're not home, but maybe if you could bring the car dolly, you know, the little trailer for the car. Or you know what, on second thought, why don't you just drive your car out here? And he goes, it might be out of gas, and then I'll just go into town, get gas, get my truck.
I'm confused already.
Exactly. So, without thinking too much and thinking, all right, I'll just get out there, hop in my car, and I drive out to where they are. It's about a 10-minute drive.
And their car's broken down.
Broken down.
Okay.
I get out there to see what's up, and he goes, okay, I'm going to take your car into town, get gas, and bring my truck back in case we've got to tow this home. And I go, okay. And he goes, sister, you might want to get in too. So they both hop in my car and drive away, and
leaving me you with the broken
stranded
down
vehicle. Granted, it's a convertible parked in the sun on a very hot day. And I sat there for a good 20, 25 minutes in the sun thinking, well, this about settles that
score. Yeah, why did you have to stay with the broken down car?
I don't know. It's not going anywhere.
It's broken down.
Probably a total of 10 cars drove by while I was sitting there. You know, no one was going to dink with the car. So
I've had vehicles break down that I was driving before, and I've had a friend come pick me up and just left the keys on the floorboard for the tow truck driver when they came and got it. Because my thought was, this thing is broken.
Yeah.
Good luck stealing it. You know.
I've heard stories of people leaving their car on the interstate and people break the windows out and take everything out before the tow truck can get there. So,
really?
I mean, but if they're going to do that, then
they ain't going to stop it anyhow. Right. Yeah, make it easy for them so they don't have to break your window to steal your shit.
Exactly. Exactly. In fact, one time I got my car broken into. I had some speakers in a box in the back window that you could easily see would be easy to take out. You just disconnect the wires and go. And they broke the back window of the car and then unlocked the door.
The rear windshield? Or this,
no, the rear
like a passenger
side
okay.
window. Unlocked the front door. It was a two-door. Opened the door. They took the speakers. They left the amplifier alone, probably because it was a pain to unwire and everything.
Bolted down, maybe.
It was. And they took my CDs, which they were all copied CDs at the time. Forgeries, who cares?
Yeah, that is how you know someone grew up during the 90s.
Yeah.
Tons of burnt CDs out and about. That is a sharp transition between someone growing up in this decade and someone growing up in the 90s.
Right.
Because at the end of the 90s, man, it was, you got a CD burner and just burning the shit out of discs.
Yeah. I did a lot of CD burning.
Yeah.
And so they took the CDs, and I had a little remote control for my stereo, and they took that. And I was just thinking, maybe if I just left the door unlocked, like, the hardest part was replacing the window. Yeah. The CDs, no big deal. The speakers weren't expensive enough to worry about. Yeah.
That a broken window is a pain in the ass.
Oh, yeah. I mean, broken glass all over the inside of the car.
So what are we saying? Just leave the vehicle unlocked?
I'll tell you what. Sometimes I do it just to see if nothing happens, and nothing ever happens.
Yeah.
In fact, to go one further, about 3 years ago, my neighborhood had a little one-night deal where a bunch of guys, or I don't know how many guys, but a bunch of cars were hit, where they would just open up the door, steal the change, so if you had your wallet out there, steal mm-hmm. whatever, they'd steal whatever they could of value out of the car, close the door like halfway, so that you wouldn't, so they wouldn't slam it, wake mm-hmm. up a dog, or wake you up, or whatever. And they hit every car in my neighborhood. They hit all my parents' cars, and they didn't touch my car. And I'll never really know why. But I had an iPod sitting on the front seat.
Unlocked?
Unlocked.
Wow.
I never lock my car when it's at home.
Wow.
I do now. But, yeah, didn't touch the iPod. Nice stereo, nice sound system and everything. Didn't touch a thing. Hmm. And I was the only car not touched.
I once had a party where somebody came around and started siphoning gas out of all the people's vehicles that were at my house.
Wow.
It was disturbing because I had no idea what was going on. And I still don't know if it was just someone who came with a friend to the party or whatever. But this was probably about 5 years ago when gas really started climbing towards mm-hmm. that $3 mark for the first time. And someone was getting ready to leave the party and they came back and they're like, hey, you know, someone's been siphoning the gas on my car. I had a full tank and I can smell the gas. It's all on the side of my vehicle. So I don't know what's up, but it was a disturbing deal.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, and it's weird how you feel so violated when something happens to your car.
Especially at your home.
Yeah.
Because you think, like, your home should be your sacred ground, where if there's any leeway for making a mistake of leaving the garage door open or your car door yeah. unlocked, it should be at your home.
Absolutely.
Oh, geez.
So.
All right. Well, back on point here. You just heard a few stories about vandalism that we've suffered. Who do you like better?
Yeah.
Maybe who's the better victim? Who would be the better perp?
I wonder.
Yeah, so get out there and let us know. If you like number three, tweet us. Let us know. Hey, number three's my guy. I'm tired of number nine and all that shit he's talking.
Mm-hmm. And if you like number nine, and God help you if you do.
Yeah, he does. God will help them if they do.
Well,
I have faith that God will help you if you like number nine better.
All right. Well, why don't you follow us on Facebook? Or so you could tweet us, too.
Yeah.
At QuickFastCast.
Yeah, let's not split it up. Let's just either tweet us or email us. How about right. that?
And what's our email address?
Email's quickfastcast@gmail.com. We've already gotten a couple emails. That's where we found out about the... more common than we'd like to hear abbreviation of good is good.
Yeah.
So we've gotten an email there. We've gotten a few others as well. So you can email us quickfastcast@gmail.com or hit us up on Twitter.
@QuickFastCast.
There you go.
Well, that's going to do it for this episode of the Quick Fast Podcast. And remember, you do what the fuck you got to do. And if there's no victim, there's no crime.
All right. Thanks, y'all.